certainly the contracts could have been structured so that the contractors bear the risk of cost overruns.
So then even if the project did go over budget, you're saying the taxpayers would not have been stuck with the bill?
That was the plan, that even if there were cost overruns, the contractors would be responsible for them.
Now, the governor also cited studies showing low ridership once the line is completed. And I've seen these studies. I know you have too, Hank. Even the most optimistic estimates indicate that the train wouldn't make a profit strictly from the fare box alone. So would taxpayers be stuck for paying for an unprofitable system after it's up and running?
No, the structure of the contract that DOT was getting ready to let would have been a design, build, operate, and maintain and finance contract so that the contractor would be responsible for all of the shortfalls, if any, on the operation side. And it is true that the ridership studies are all over the place. Some were high, some were low. But the fact of the matter is it was immaterial because the contracts would have been structured such. Now, the governor argued that if it was a bad contract, a bad deal, that somebody would then not perform on the contract, and that would have exposed Florida to some liability. But even if you argue that somebody would have walked away from the contract, the fear that that would then have triggered a clawback by the federal government was not true. The transportation agency said it wouldn't do that. There may have been some exposure to run the facility. That's certainly true, but I suspect it would have been fairly moderate. And I don't think that's the way the contracts would have been structured anyway. I think that the contractors would have demanded control over the stations and the real estate around the stations. And that's really where the big return or offset could have been for the contractors.
Now, in his press conference last week when he announced that he was refusing the federal money, Governor Scott said he would prefer to take that money and spend it on other infrastructure projects. For example, he mentioned improving the ports in Miami and Tampa and Fort Lauderdale. But, I mean, that's not really an option here, is it? The federal money, as I understand it, was earmarked for high-speed rail projects. It's not as if we could take that money and spend it on some other projects, is it?
No, it's not an option. It's a good philosophical point. It's a point I actually agree with, that the money could have been spent to do something else that would have provided a better economic return. But that's not the issue. The money was available for this purpose and this purpose only. If Florida doesn't use the money for this purpose, that money will be used by California or New York.
Well, now U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood has given Florida until the end of the week, the deadline is Friday, to come up with a way around Governor Scott's objections. Senator Nelson and also Congresswoman Kathy Castor and Corinne Brown, as well as some state legislators, are looking at various plans. Some involve creating some kind of special government entity to take the money so that the state wouldn't be involved. Do you think they're going to be able to cobble together some kind of a deal by the end of the week, Hank? Or is this Orlando to Tampa bullet train dead for now?
I think that the Orlando to Tampa portion is probably dead for now. But there may well be a rescue that goes from Orlando International Airport to the convention center to the attractions. And that kind of deal could be done by Orange County and the city of Orlando. And so we may see some limited high-speed rail in Orange County.
And that, of course, is the alternative that Representative Micah is putting forth, a train that would run from OIA to the Disney World area, to the attractions. Well, why would a tourist do that? I mean, doesn't Disney World already run a free bus?
It runs a bus, but tourists might want to get on this higher-speed train, and Disney might want not to have to pay for the bus system and subsidize the bus system if there was a train available that would accomplish the same aim, Tom.
So if that portion of the line is built and it's successful, would the long-term plan be to then gradually extend that until perhaps the entire Orlando to Tampa line or even perhaps the Orlando to Miami lines are eventually built?
This idea that you put the first link on the heavily traveled route and then use that as financial leverage for the next route is exactly the model the Expressway Authority used. The first expressways were built on the most traveled routes, and then the excess monies from the existing traveled routes are used to continue to expand the system. And there's a history of that's how transportation systems generally expand and finance themselves.
Governor Scott has made no secret of his dislike in general of rail projects, but when he was asked about it last week, he said his staff is still studying the SunRail commuter project, which, not to be confused with high-speed rail, is the line that would connect Volusia and Seminole counties with downtown Orlando and continue on to Osceola County. What do you think this controversy over high-speed rail means for the future of commuter rail projects like SunRail?
Well, it doesn't help it. But I do think that SunRail stands on its own economically as a distinctly better and different economic proposition. I think the governor eventually will approve and let those contracts move forward, Tom.